5 minutes after the 11 o'clock. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome in to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Coming up at 1 o'clock today, the very first kind of official Football Friday of the year. So I'm excited for that. We'll bust into it. Really a lot of Broncos, Vikings preview, and how about Wyoming and Illinois? That's kind of the game in on our radar here that actually means something. And can the Cowboys, I guess that's our Method Flow Products poll question. You think the Wyoming Cowboys are going to go bowling? Will they reach a bowl game this year? A lot of unknowns about Wyoming at this point. And, you know, I think we know who the quarterback is. I think it's going to be Andrew Peasley. But Greg Bull still not saying whether or not that's the guy. So they're keeping their playing their cards pretty close to the chest. Illinois did name their starting quarterback yesterday, the Syracuse transfer, Tommy DeVito. Do you think he's related to Danny DeVito?
That'd be a cool cousin to have or something.
That'd be pretty cool. I mean, probably not very tall, maybe. I don't know.
Say how tall he is?
No, I don't know. I need to look. I need to figure that out. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So go vote on that one. I can't imagine. We have a lot of Rams followers. So I can't imagine. Yeah, look at that. 86% of the hooligans are saying no. The Cowboys are not, in fact, going to make a bowl appearance. Make it to a bowl game. And we'll see. You know, you win tomorrow. Hey, five more to go. And they should beat the UNC Bears, Angel. But I don't know. Oh, man. Are you ready, though? I mean, this is the calm before the storm. This Friday is kind of the calm before the storm.
And really, honestly, just the way I feel around the station today, it just, there's that air of football is here. You can feel it. You're anticipating what you're going to be watching on the weekend. And obviously, Clark had a great call last night with the Fossil Ridge game.
What a
that
great way to start
burner
the
of a
season.
Game too.
Yeah.
It's back.
And in Timnath, too, a beautiful football facility there. Beautiful facility, really. And, yeah, that was a great game. How about that for starting your Preps broadcast schedule and having that game last night? I mean, just absolutely nuts. If you guys want to see the full rundown of our Preps football schedule this year, you can check it out at 1310kfka.com. And, man, there's some great football games going to be on that lineup. Just a lot of, you know, Thursday night games, some Friday, obviously every Friday night. But tonight's going to be Windsor at Meade Football Friday. I'm stepping in with Tanner tonight. I know you're stepping in tonight to do some scoreboard updates. Kyle Johnson is out. So we'll have a full night of football prepared for you before Windsor takes on, the Windsor Wizards take on the Meade Mavericks. Two of the cooler names in the area.
The WW and A, or yeah.
Yeah.
So it works. Go Wizards.
Wizards. Oh, love it. I'm excited for it, man. It's going to be good. All right, Angel, let's get to it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Of course, the good, the bad, the ugly. From the night that was. And I mean, listen, the Rockies lose 3-1. I was actually shocked they played that well, but I'm just going to say it. DeGrom is so good. He is, I mean, he's got to be the best right now. I love seeing the crowd when it's like the third inning or something. He's getting ready to strike a guy out. He had 9 strikeouts. The crowd just collectively stands up and they're cheering for, going nuts for him. I mean, every time he's on the mound, it's a big time deal. And it's exciting, man. But the Rockies kind of hung in there. Ryan McMahon had a bomb, man. He had a home run, but that was pretty much it. So we'll take that over. That's the bad. The Rockies lost. Not that we expected any different. The Mets are, well, you know, 80-40. They were 80-45 or 79-46 before yesterday. So they get their 80th win. I don't think we expected any different there. But you know, the Rockies lose. It's never a good thing, Angel. It's never great. Here's the ugly, and I don't think it's ugly in terms of like what Nathaniel Hackett's doing, but the fact that he's getting pissed, dude. He is mad at this offense and everything. Here's Nathaniel Hackett. We'll play it for you. We'll probably play it back again later on in the show. But here's Nathaniel Hackett talking about this week's of production or lack thereof.
In the end, we got a standard. And, you know, they didn't live up to that yesterday. And they owned up to it. They understood it. It wasn't just one guy. But that kind of stuff is unacceptable. And it's really, you know, you just got to continually keep your focus. You know, we changed the schedule a little bit, so it was a little bit different. And those are the adversity things that we're going to face throughout the year, you know. So I'm excited that they had that opportunity to see those things that might have gone wrong. And we watched the tape. Now we're moving on.
He's frustrated. You know, he had some more things to say throughout the week. He's frustrated. I think it's a good thing. So even though it's ugly that they're getting him to this point, the honeymoon phase of giving everybody hugs and all that, you wondered how long that was really going to last, right? Like, all we're hearing to start camp and, you know, his press conferences, he's talking about Star Wars and it's Russell freaking Wilson. Come on, Broncos country, get excited. He senses some urgency. I mean, I know it's his first year, but there's urgency to produce. You have a new ownership situation going on. Broncos country, the pressure is there to make it work now. And, I mean, if you miss the playoffs, people like me maybe will say, I don't know that it's, you know, a complete fail this year. Depends on what the schedule looks like or the record looks like. But you know that the majority of this fan base, they're sick and tired of it. This is not normal for Broncos country to go 6 years of no playoffs, to have five losing seasons. I mean, it's been a long run. It's been a short run at the same time. It seems like just yesterday, Super Bowl 50 was upon us. And it also seems like a very long time ago. So I think the pressure's on, and I think Nathaniel Hackett sees it. I think he goes, all right, I'm getting a lot of flack for how I run my camp and my preseason and everything. And you guys aren't earning that. You got to go out and you got to show me every single day that you're going to be going out there and putting something together for me. And he's not seeing it. And I like the fire. I like him getting a little mad and not just saying, you know what, it's preseason. That's kind of been the motto for a lot of these coaches, for Nathaniel Hackett for sure. But I don't think he feels like it's just preseason right now, do you? I think he's viewing it as we didn't show enough, even though we didn't play starters. But these guys fighting for a team that are going to improve our depth chart, it's not enough right now.
No, it's not, and I don't. Well, the starters aren't playing this weekend in the preseason games.
I mean, like a couple maybe, but yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to see Wilson out there. You're not going to see a lot of the starting linemen out there, the receivers, the running backs. So it's interesting how he approaches this next 2 weeks before the season officially gets going.
Yeah.
You would think it'd be natural to ramp things up a little bit, maybe hit a little bit harder, ratchet up the intensity, but if you got to do it extra because you didn't perform well this week, it's not great.
So do we feel like hearing that, it's like, are they behind? And how far behind are they? You know, you got one more preseason game left. And listen, we can say it until we're blue in the face, it's just preseason. But you can only evaluate what's in front of you. And so far, the evaluation of the Broncos in the preseason has been rough. I mean, I'm touting that Javonte Williams is going to be a top five back in this league. I think his talent's there, but, and I know we haven't seen pretty much the starting lineup or the starting offensive line, but then you start going into the philosophy of it. Okay, how much are we really seeing from Nathaniel Hackett's playbook? Probably not a lot, but the initial fight, and I'm not talking Cincy Rams kind of thing that was going on yesterday, but like actual fight. And, you know, you're basing it off of what you saw against the Bills. And it's not like the Cowboys game was squeaky clean, perfect. You won by 7. It was 17-10. It's not, or wasn't that the score? Something like that. It wasn't great. Or 17-7, maybe. Okay, I'll take that field goal back. I think if you're just evaluating the body of work at this point, you're frustrated. You had Nathaniel Hackett apologize to Broncos country on Monday. And then 2 days later, he's coming back saying, we're not good enough. I mean, that's kind of frustrating. I think for the first time in this preseason, I do feel a bit alarmed about the current situation.
Yeah, when you talk about physicality on a football team, it's not just your starters are out there giving it their all every single play. that trickles down to your second, third, and fourth string, and that's what we see in preseason games. And you saw it in Buffalo. The energy and the effort wasn't there. And if that's your third and fourth string guys aren't playing well, what do you think the starters are doing? If your head coach is apologizing and then coming out saying you guys need to do better, it's concerning.
I think it's very concerning at this point. I'm alarmed, and I'm trying my best not to be, because I know what it is. It's the preseason, but I wanted to see a little bit. Okay, let's just do it. Should the starters have played? Should we have seen, or should we see? We won't. Russell Wilson and this offensive line play a few snaps. I mean, should it have happened? Should it happen? And the fact that it's not, are we frustrated? I mean, it's a new offense. It's not, well, you know what you have in Russell Wilson. I think I'm over that. I think after this week and hearing and reading what I've been hearing and reading, I'm going back to, then why don't you put your starters out there and have them show the guys how it's done? Because we're not seeing it right now. There's, to me, I'm looking at it going, was there enough work put in? And if these guys trying to make the team aren't seeing what Russell's doing with the offense, and then Brett Rypien and Josh Johnson, then what are we doing here? Should they have played?
I think it's a very, very good question. You see around the league, starters will play up to, you know, a half, a quarter. You saw the Bills only played their, Josh Allen only played a series. So wouldn't it have been that bad to see Russell play 4 or 5 snaps in a drive? Maybe they get a field goal. Hey, it's not a touchdown, but you got to see your offense move the ball down the field. And that's something, like you just mentioned, the second, third, fourth stringers can see the starters on the field, see the effort that they're giving, and say, oh, I got to go out there when it's my turn.
You got a bunch of guys in Seattle that are trying to prove something here. And I'm not sitting here saying Seattle's going to go win their division or be a good team or anything like that.
No one's picking them to win the division.
No. And isn't this league, I mean, don't we pride ourselves on redemption and comeback and underdog? Like, again, that doesn't mean they're going to be the Super Bowl contender. But if you're Seattle today and you're seeing all this stuff going on with the Broncos and Russell Wilson, you are chomping at the bit to prove the world wrong on Monday Night Football and say, hey, we got it right. You know, our GM, our ownership got it right. They chose Pete Carroll over Russell Wilson. And I just wanted to see a little glimpse of that. We won't, though. I mean, tomorrow has some intrigue to talk. Listen, it's all relative, right? It's how you look at it. Last year, we were going, Teddy or Drew, doesn't matter. It's all going to suck. This year, it's like, okay, we got our guy, but we haven't seen him. And you know, a lot of the guys that are really knee-deep into this talk, and we are too, but you're talking about, like, the Russell Wilson with a brand new offense. It's supposed to be, I don't know if this is going to be cutting edge, but what did I tell you yesterday, Angel? Sources around the league are saying, and this was like 6 months ago, but Nathaniel Hackett is either going to be amazing or it's going to be an epic fail. Not a lot of room in between. And that is kind of the word on Nathaniel Hackett. He's kind of got a new strategy, a new philosophy. He's a new type of coach. He's maybe more of a player's coach than we have ever seen before. It's a little alarming as we sit here on the 26th day of August that we don't feel great about the situation. And we haven't seen the starters, though. And that's why some would shut you up and say, well, but you're not seeing the real stuff. This isn't the real thing. Kansas City's been showing some of the real stuff a little bit.
Yeah, and I wonder, you say that it's either going to be, you know, the greatest season ever or a failure. How much of that comes from the fan base itself? Because I know Broncos fans are rowdy and very, very passionate about their team.
Yeah, so you're from a college football world, right? Alabama, that's your pro team. they're just as good, almost as good. We can have that argument someday. Not for today. But this town prides itself on the Broncos being the best, the game in town. We like the Nuggets. It's great. Oh, the Rockies went to a World Series once. Neat. The Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. That's pretty freaking awesome. Oh, the season's over. Good. Let's move on to football. You know, and I'm sorry. Avalanche fans are pissed right now hearing that, but that is the way it's viewed in this state. Oh, Jay Norvell and CSU, that's exciting. That's cool. We'll see what happens there. Ed McCaffrey went to UNC. Pretty cool that his name's tagged to a Bronco. Like, nobody would have cared about UNC's new head coaching hire, except for maybe us, had it not been Ed McCaffrey. The entire state went nuts. I was in Zoom meetings, suddenly 9 News and 7 News and 8 News and 20 News. I don't know all the news is. They're all on the Zoom calls, and they're interested. That's because he's tagged to the Broncos. So the pressure is real here. Now, does that mean Nathaniel Hackett, if this thing explodes and it's not good, is Nathaniel Hackett done? No. But you do have a new ownership in, a new owner in. New guys call the shots. And, you know, this is big for George Payton, too. The gamble, I think we all agree, I think, right? Trading the draft picks and a couple of the players that you did to get Russell Wilson. So I like the move on paper for George Payton, but you got to have the head coach that can put this all together. We've seen it too many times. You remember the infamous, was it Vince Young when he was backup for the Eagles? And he said, this is the dream team. They had all those stars. I can't even think of all of them at this point. But this is the dream team. We've got great quarterbacks. We've got great running. And they sucked that year. So it's not just plug and play good athletes and great players. Near Broke says, I'm hoping Drew Lock lights it up. Lights up the second string defense. Defense better not have a I think you're thinking the Seahawks are playing the Broncos. Seattle's playing Dallas tonight, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Prime time on NFL Network. Oh, yeah.
Geno's getting the start, baby. But you know when Drew comes in, it is go time. You know, that should have been our poll question. Broncos country, are you watching tonight because of Drew Lock? First off, are you watching tonight?
Yes.
And are you watching because of Drew Lock?
100%.
100%. Don't care about preseason football out of market, really, for the most part. Unless it gives me a nugget, something to tie me back to Broncos country. And this Drew Lock thing, even the guys that don't admit it, there's a lot of Denver media that give it up, Lock sucked, it was terrible. Even though they were the same people that said the coaching staff was awful and all these people, everything was awful, they never had a good start. Now check this, 970 says Manning played in preseason when he came to Denver. Didn't you find something? I'm not remembering it. I don't remember. I don't think he did he? Tommy Bones is playing, but he also went to like Cabo for 2 weeks. So maybe that's a punishment. Get out there and play. You could be right, 970. I don't quite remember. It didn't seem like he did. But if you're saying it and I don't know, then hey, we'll go with you unless Angel digs something up there. I think Russell should have played. I think let's do this on the other side because we're gonna screw up the clock again. Angel's gonna get pissed at me, and away we go. That's how we start a Football Friday. I don't want to do that. On this note, the 970 says watched him play against Kaepernick. It's all blur, man. It's all a blur. You're probably right. I'll give it to you. You're probably right. When we come back, we're gonna rant a little bit more here because you have key position battles that are open or that were open to start camp, and we didn't really get to see the big payoff. Albert O's playing Saturday, but that's like one of the only ones. KJ Hamler's going to play a little bit, but that's really just to see him run around out there. 23 minutes after the hour, I'm getting worked up. I'm actually not happy with this. I'm not happy with the way the preseason situation happened. I'm really not. At first, I was okay, 24 minutes after the hour. Sorry, Angel. We'll do our best. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2. On 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Wow. 28 minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We got Football Friday coming up. It's going to be fantastic. 1 o'clock, we're going to hit it. It's not going to be as fun as next week. I'm just going to say it. You're not supposed to say any of your next segments aren't going to be as good as the next. But next week, we have more of a full-on Football Friday. I do my predictions. I've changed it from the Big Four to the Big Five. Might do the Big Six. Might add Air Force in there. I don't know yet. I am adding Wyoming. I've only got one pick to make this week, so my job's very easy. Next week, we start following along. I was over 500. I just want to say, I was over 500 last year. And this year, we're going to skyrocket over that.
I mean, one game over is still over, so.
Still over. It's probably playoffs. Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe close.
We'll get our dress rehearsal today, see how it feels, see how we do this, but get the real stuff next
week. It's the dress rehearsal, which is what the Broncos should be freaking doing. Sorry. Donnie just texted in. Hey, oh, yeah, Donnie, what's up, man? Donnie's a long-time listener. Good to hear from you, my friend. Welcome back into the whole show. Brian just texted in from Good Morning NoCo. Locke will not make my hair leave. You know, that's okay.
Don't leave Brittany alone.
No, I love Drew. Please leave him alone. Just leave him alone. He's going to light it up tonight. He's going to make those fourth stringers and those dudes that are probably going to be working in banking and real estate next week never know what hit him, man. He's just going to go off. It's going to be glorious, and I'm going to be tweeting all about it tonight. Best thing I've ever seen. There was a tweet that said, is there a three-man competition? It showed Pete Carroll out there throwing the football. It's erroneous. Drew Locke would run all over him. He's 70. Drew Locke's way better than Pete Carroll. It's ridiculous. Just irresponsible reporting.
I mean, he throws it in the net unlike anybody I've ever seen.
That net is lucky it's still alive, bro. I saw how hard he was throwing that ball into the net. Like, I could have swore I saw smoke coming from the ball as it approached the net. Seriously. Okay, so I just want to let everybody know. Brian Gary, wonderful human being. One of the hosts of Good Morning NoCo. We have all these bets going on. I don't even know what mine is. I don't care because Brian's the main one. If Drew Locke is a Pro Bowler, and it's got to be a legitimate Pro Bowler, can't be like a first-team alternate or whatever, he's got to shave his head. And if you've seen Brian, he's got long hair. And he loves that long hair. He's all into it. And he looks gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous with it. But what would he look like without it? Scary? Most people would look scary with no hair.
It might take a little while to get used to it, but, I mean, props to him for even putting his hair on the line for this.
That's a big one. That's a big change.
Long hair is not something to mess with.
No, and you have long hair. Would you shave it?
It would take a lot to shave all of it. I know my bet
is... What is your bet, by the way?
My bet is if the Dolphins fail to get over 500,
okay,
I will do some kind of Mohawk-style shaved dolphin fin looking thing.
I don't know if I want
you to color it or
I want you to do it, but I don't at the same time. You're one of those guys. It's like it's your hair, man. It's like when you know I used to watch Survivor and those guys would have their beards growing in during Survivor and then they'd be on the show after the aftermath show of Survivor and but it was filmed like in real time and they'd be clean shaven and I'm like, "No!"
You've never seen me with
no,
short hair.
It would scare the crap out of me because it looks good. You have long, good hair. Same with Brian. I think mine's a girl mustache or something. Is that what it is? If the Broncos don't make the playoffs, which, based on my conversation 10 minutes ago, I'm pressing the panic button here. Yeah. Ouch. It hurts. I don't like to press it. I don't. But I think Russ should be playing. I think we should have seen a few series with these guys. We had Dalton Reisner on 2 months ago, a month ago. Great guy. Love him. But he even said, you know, hey, I know I'm playing for a contract. I'm playing for my job. There was controversy wondering who's going to be the starting O-line. Graham Glasgow went from a shoe-in to, is he going to make the team? He'll make the team. But all those question marks... And we don't want to see them together at all. We want to wait until that first Monday night football game where Seattle is just like, that's their Super Bowl, man. Seattle might go on to lose the rest of the games. But that's their Super Bowl. They beat Russell Wilson in a Broncos uniform in their house. It's huge.
just imagine if Locke is the starting quarterback walking out there.
Oh,
like,
just do it, Seattle.
The storylines in this game are just massive, and Seattle is going to be pumped up for this game.
Yeah, like, you have...
Their outlook on their team might not be great, but they're excited for this
game. This game is monster. Like, of storylines, if I'm ranking them from first to third... No, from third to first storylines. Third is Nathaniel Hackett, new coach. See what he's got. Second is Russell Wilson going to his old town to play football. First is Drew Locke.
Drew Locke first in something?
He's first in net throwing, man. He's first at that. I did like the Twitter thing they put together of Drew Locke every practice walking out, and because he was told, "Are you ready for all the rain that you're getting in Seattle?" And every morning he came out to practice, and for like a 2 week strand they didn't have any rain. And so he looked at the camera, he's like, "It doesn't rain here. It doesn't rain." See, he's just hilarious. That guy, he's cunning. He comes up with some great stuff.
He's a fun guy.
He is. I mean, okay, if you're Pete Carroll today, don't you just start Drew Locke? Screw this quarterback competition. Geno Smith is Geno Smith. Drew Locke might just be Drew Locke, but I'm going to say this, and people are really mad in their cars right now. We still don't really know. We still don't really know.
I think his floor is higher than Geno Smith's ceiling.
Oh, it's deep.
Like, as bad as Drew could possibly be,
yeah,
he may be better than Geno Smith at his best.
Yeah. Drew's still... I love that, by the way. That's great. Drew can still do something, man. He can still do it. I just... And listen... All cards on the table here. I don't look at him and go, "Oh, that's Patrick Mahomes. That's Josh Allen type." No, he's probably more like a run of the mill. He's going to start a few games here and there. He's going to start for a few teams for a few, maybe a year or something. Then he's replaced or something like that. And then that's just kind of who he is. Probably. I wouldn't bet on the opposite, but I'm not betting on it. I'm just like, there's something there. Can Pete Carroll get it out of him? And again, a weird shake in training camp. He's going to get his start last week, and then he gets COVID. COVID is just linked to him, man, because he didn't wear the mask in the quarterback room. Was it 2 years ago when he was the starter? And that brought... In fairness, the Kendall Hinton Hall of Fame game never happens if Drew Locke wears a mask inside. So, thanks, Drew. The Broncos have another Hall of Famer in Kendall Hinton. Because he's like the only non-position quarterback to play in a season as a quarterback. Because, you know, all the other quarterbacks were in that room with him with no mask. Yeah, I just think that this whole thing, man, going back to the Broncos, it's the new era. It's all this new offense and new coach. The difference between Vic Fangio and Nathaniel Hackett is huge. Two totally different guys. And we're not going to try him out for two series. Two? Like last week. The Bills are doing it and they have nothing to prove. Why did the Bills do it and the Broncos didn't? Why are the Chiefs doing it? Why is Tom Brady doing it? I mean, even the all kidding aside on the vacation stuff, does Tom Brady, he's already made the transition from one team to the next, and then he won a Super Bowl the very next year. If there's one human being in the planet of the earth that has earned the right to say, "You don't need to see me in the preseason," it's Tom Brady.
Sure, and we don't see Aaron Rodgers that much. You saw Allen, you saw Mahomes. It's Wilson. We haven't seen Russell Wilson at all, man. Not even for, just put him out for one snap, hand it off. Okay, Russ, come back. That's it.
Like, Tom's probably not going to throw it at all or anything.
No.
He's going to go, "Hike, here's the ball, running back. Here's the ball. Here's a screenplay. Don't get me hit, or this will be your last day on the job." Like, I mean that. How do you feel if you're offensive line, though? You're like, "Tom came back, so now we have to play. We have to play in a preseason game.
We have to try.
I have to try now."
Gosh.
It's just, you can't help but wonder if it's a deeper issue here. And I'm talking to Broncos country right now. If you're watching the preseason take place and hearing all the stuff that we've been hearing about training camp, you know there's a part of your brain, the back of your head going, "The hell happens if this doesn't work?" It worked with Peyton Manning. But Angel, maybe you know this. Like, what's the history of great quarterbacks transitioning to another team? It's not like it's a common thing. Joe Montana went to Kansas City. We forgot. Most people don't even really remember that. Tom Brady did it. Peyton Manning did it.
Drew Brees did it.
Drew Brees did it. But in fairness, Drew Brees wasn't like in that Hall of Fame chat yet. You were like, oh, this is a good young quarterback here. He's kind of like Jake Plummer at that point. When they drafted Jay Cutler, the Broncos drafted Jay Cutler to replace Jake Plummer. Jake Plummer was pretty good. Drew Brees was kind of at that point where the Chargers went, he's good, but we could get better. We got this Philip Rivers guy right here. Obviously, they ended up, it worked out maybe better, obviously better for the Saints and Drew Brees because they got a Super Bowl out of it. But it hasn't happened a lot.
Yeah, and the one exception being Tom Brady, who just called every veteran available to come down to Tampa Bay, and they went and won a Super Bowl in his first year. Granted, that's Tom Brady. He's the greatest, and he can do that. But with a guy like Russell Wilson, who, you know, had a Super Bowl, went back-to-back in the Super Bowl, has had lots of experience putting up the numbers. Even the last few years, he may have dropped a bit, and that's mostly because of the team around him.
Not a very good team.
And you put him in another team with more unknowns, possibly, just because it's a new offense, a new system, and you just wonder, what's this going to look like when they take that first snap?
We always talk about, like, if a quarterback gets drafted into a certain situation, it just, oh, he was in a bad situation. It just didn't work out for this guy. Why did it work better when he went here? Why did it work better when he went there? A lot of times, and our boy Tanner Schwint likes to talk about this, like schemes and such. Does that quarterback fit your scheme? That's you can't help but wonder, okay, was it New England? Was it Bill Belichick or was it Tom Brady? Well, so far, I think we've proven, like, it's a big gap now. It was Tom Brady. Now, that doesn't mean Bill Belichick's not a Hall of Famer. He is. But Tom Brady proved that, okay, who was the best of the two? Tom went away and won. Belichick was at Cleveland and sucked. Wasn't very good. So if you're talking about the two of them combined versus separated, Tom Brady's winning that battle. So now you're asking, okay, how much of Russell Wilson becoming Russell Wilson was Pete Carroll? Those guys used to be close. Those guys used to be very tight, and then it faded over the last couple of seasons.
Oh, they were an iconic duo in the NFL.
They were at least in the same, I don't know about the same conversation, but close, when you're talking about Belichick and Brady at that point.
It was an established combination of quarterback and coach.
It was. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. It was kind of like what we saw with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. So you have to wonder those things, and again, that's why I go, man, it's not even an established head coach. If this was rewind the clock and it was Mike Shanahan's offense and it was Mike Shanahan taking in Russell Wilson, you'd go, all right, well, at least we know Mike's offense. We know what he's doing. We don't know what's in store for this Broncos team. We really don't. You can talk about it till you're blue in the face about training camp and what you saw or didn't see, but you didn't see anything that they'd let you see. I mean, that's how football is. You see what we want you to see, and then the rest you'll see on Monday Night Football.
Even the insiders that we have, like Zach, he doesn't really know what this offense looks like.
He's not seeing everything. You know, Zach's one of the best insiders there is, but even at, like, I go to CSU practice. It's cool. It's fun. I like being out there. It's great. It's more just to be out there. You get the vibe of camp a little bit. Receivers are jumping around. Quarterbacks are having a blast. Linemen are talking trash to each other. Kind of see that stuff. But you don't see an offense. You see, okay, we know Jay Norvell's going to air it out, so we just have a picture in our mind. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like. I would have liked to see something like that. Well, Kenny Swamy, giving you crap, Angel. Now, if Tua didn't play, I totally get it.
I mean, Tua played in the preseason game last week, so...
How'd he look?
Pretty solid. He's like 6-for-8, 60-something yards, a couple first downs, move the ball. Again, vanilla offense. You're not doing a lot. Coach McDaniel runs a similar Shanahan system. He was with Kyle for 8 years or something. So, you know.
Donnie texts in, says, how about Stafford? Yeah, that's another one. Pretty good transition. But it's, again, that's a good example. Brady's a good example. Peyton Manning's a good example. How many examples are there? There's just not that many. Brett Favre, I mean, his first stint, he went to the Jets, and it was bad. Then he goes to the Vikings, and he had a really good year, right? Then they go to the NFC Championship. They were really good. But in fairness, that was a trip in between. So it's a hard transition, 43 minutes after the hour. All right, some disturbing news coming out of Buffalo. We'll get to that. Also, kind of a local connection. I'll talk about that on the other side. The Lunch Rush is coming up. We got Football Friday starting at 1 o'clock, all things football. Can the Wyoming Cowboys make it into a bowl game? It would go a long way if they upset a Big Ten team, which it would be an upset team, I think they're 10-point dogs in this one. 44 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Welcome. I'm glad you guys could be here for Football Friday, man. We're just pumped about this. Wyoming going to a bowl game, it's going to be tough. We asked that great question, who's your quarterback? Well, Wyoming, we know, but we don't really know at this point. So we're going to get into more Wyoming-Illinois talk in the 1 o'clock hour when we get to Football Friday. What it looks like for the Broncos, Vikings preseason game, all that and more. But first, let me tell you about On the Rocks Liquor. Sam Adams Brewing bringing us Oktoberfest. That's our game beer of the week. You can pick up selections from Sam Adams or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until 10 o'clock, 9 a.m. to 10 o'clock every single day. All right, short segment there. We'll break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the 11 o'clock hour on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The time. This is one of those really sensitive stories. So if you have like little ones in the car, you might want to, this is a disgusting, disgusting story. This came from ESPN last night. And listen, I followed this guy, Mountain West Conference, Matt Ariza. Buffalo Bills punter Matt Ariza and two former San Diego State teammates accused of gang raping minor in a lawsuit. Bills rookie punter Matt Ariza, he's from San Diego State, he's in the Mountain West. We followed him closely because Ryan Stonehouse with CSU was an amazing punter for Colorado State. Ariza was great, and it was kind of this back and forth thing of who was going to be the best punter in the conference, who was going to get drafted. He did get drafted. If this all checks out, it's just disturbing. Bills rookie punter Matt Ariza and two others have been accused of gang raping a 17-year-old girl last year in a lawsuit filed in San Diego County Superior Court on Thursday. The lawsuit obtained by ESPN involves allegations against him and two of his former San Diego State teammates. The other men named in the complaint are Xavier Leonard, a redshirt freshman with the Aztecs, and Nolan Iwalico, who was a freshman last season but is no longer on the listed roster. All three are accused of rape, gender violence, and false imprisonment. Now, here's kind of where the story is. The lawsuit accuses Ariza, who was 21 at the time, of having sex with the then high school senior who's under the age of consent in California outside at an off-campus party held at his residence during the early hours of October 17, 2021. The lawsuit states Ariza then brought her inside a room where at least three other men were, including Leonard and Iwalico, and that she was repeatedly raped for about an hour and a half until the party was shut down. Again, it's just, you read these stories and you just hope and pray that this is, that people do not can't do this kind of thing. It's just absolutely awful, terrible, disgusting, evil. And if it's all true, then you're just devastated for that young lady and her entire family.
Absolutely. I did. I was been following the story since it broke and then just reading up some of the stuff. I won't go into detail of it because it's very, very graphic. Mm. But Tim Graham, a writer out of The Athletic, said, drawing this back to the NFL, source tells him the Bills were made aware of these accusations last month, and they did not know when they drafted him, but they did know when they cut punter Matt Hack on Monday.
Wow.
As far as I know, the NFL itself cannot really do anything because he wasn't on an NFL team when this happened. So this may just fall back to San Diego State and what they do, but I can't imagine this guy's on a team at all anymore.
Justin Michael of DNVR Broncos retweeted that story too. And Justin, of course, follows the Rams closely, follows the Mountain West Conference closely. He says, BS. We heard about these accusations last fall, but the players weren't named publicly yet. There is zero chance that the Bills didn't know about this until last month. With the background checks that the NFL do, come on. Yeah. And it just goes back into this whole discussion of how teams are, what their practices are like, and knowing, you know, not their actual practices, but just doing their background checks and learning about these players. It's just insane. So a disgusting story, absolutely terrifying, horrifying, mortifying, all of those things that you can wrap into one. Awful. All right, second hour, we're gonna move on from that story. We'll follow along, though, and see, you know, what comes of it. Second hour coming up. Angel, we'll get to the lunch rush, ready to rock and roll there. So stay tuned. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA.